welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Every heart here, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Give someone a high five on the way down and feel the love. You look all very beautiful this morning. Wow, even better. Great faces. Lovely. Look at you all. Just such a great bunch, aren't you? So we're so blessed to come to church and be together. I just love it. It's rolling there, looking good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are speaking on healing this morning, and this is part two of the healing journey. It's my part two, but part three of our month. But I've done a two-part little section. And so last week, just to give you a quick summary, we preached on the fact that Jesus has compassion on the sick and comforts us when we're sick. I talked about the necessity of having the Word of God as our number one focus, always, but especially when you're sick. We spoke about the need to seek God for wisdom, for a heart check, what's going on, what's happening, our own heart, and also in receiving medical help. We talked about wisdom with our wonderful doctors. So this week, let us turn the Bible to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look about blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. And can I just have my phone back? I haven't got my Bible with me. So if we just read there from Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. First of all, I just love that. They told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Verse 35. Jesus, he's passing by. Beautiful words. Sometimes we can't see what's going on. Sometimes our reality is dark, like blind Bartimaeus. But he was like, what's happening? He was still listening. He was still aware. So even in the darkness, sometimes we need to go, what? It's dark. I don't know what's going on. But you know what? Jesus is here. He's passing by. Anything can happen when Jesus is passing by. Anything. And he was aware of that. So he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So this is my first point. He cried out to Jesus, but notice that they said Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, but he referred to him as Jesus, Son of David. He must have heard about Jesus. He must have heard about Jesus doing miracles. Healing was a huge part of Jesus' life. Absolutely enormous. I've just got some stats here. 500 verses in the Bible refer to Jesus' healing ministry. That's an average of 14 chapters. That's far more space in the Bible just about that topic than any other particular topic. A total of 27 individual miracles of healing accredited to Jesus, as well as 10 occasions of healing large numbers of people. His ministry dealt with a wide variety of human ailments, demon possession, disease, accidents, disability from birth and death. He healed people who were nearby. He healed people far away. He healed on the Sabbath. He healed throughout the week. He healed by people's faith, by their friends' faith, by his own faith. He healed by speaking the word, touching the patient. Healing was a really big deal for him because he had that compassion. And he wanted to show God's compassion and he wanted to show God's power. So obviously blind Bartimaeus has heard about this and he had a revelation. Because for a Jew to call anyone the son of David They knew what that meant. That means he understood that he was the Messiah. He'd heard about what Jesus can do, and he goes, that's Jesus. He must be the Messiah, son of David. He cried out, have mercy on him. And we need this same revelation. We need the same revelation that Jesus is the one that can heal. We believe that he's the Messiah, but do we believe that he can heal us today? We've got to get that revelation in our heart that he wants to have mercy on us, that he wants to do the will of God. All that list of miracles that I named to you, it's like you can hear about that, and you can even hear about things that he's done in my life or someone else's life and think, yeah, that's good. But you need to know that he wants to heal you. Today, you need that revelation. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that Jesus that just walked around and people were touching him and reaching out and wanting to get healed, he's the same today. He hasn't changed. And he's not dead. He's not lying in the grave. He's alive. And he is here. And today he operates through his church. We're his body. It says we are his body. Well, a body usually does, you know, if my head says, do this, my hand does it. So we are the body of Christ. So Jesus is here today. He's healing today. But do you believe, do you have that in your heart? Do you have that revelation of Jesus? Because blind Bartimaeus did. And that's what we need to do. We need to have that revelation. That's going to come from the Word of God. And that's why we're preaching so much. And that's why we're saying, come on, let's get healed. Partly just from compassion. I don't like seeing you sick. You don't like being sick or any kind of sickness, discomfort, anything. And God wants us healed. So, number one today, get that revelation. I'm just preaching for a few minutes on that point, but I don't know how long it's going to take you to get it. But you need to get it. You need to get before God, get into the Word of God, and do the journey. The long, long journey from here all the way down to here, to your heart. It can be a long journey sometimes. But that's the journey we need to take until we know in our heart that he wants us healed, that he loves us. So, Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, number two, what do you want me to do for you? And blind Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. So the next point, which actually I haven't said yet all of last week, was we need to ask God to heal us. I've talked about seeking God. I've talked about getting in the Word. But there comes a point where we need to say, this is what I want. Now notice that in this at this time, it says in verse 39 that those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. He said, shh, don't ask him. I don't know why they were always, the disciples really missed it sometimes, didn't they? Like, but it's possible that you also have voices rebuking you and telling you to be quiet. It's not going to happen. There's no point asking him. Maybe you feel like, oh, I've asked before and it didn't work. Maybe there's doubt saying, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're just too busy to really spend that time to seek him and be and hear from him. I don't know what it is, but he refused to be silenced. Blind Bartimaeus was like, no, no, no. It says he cried out even more. It's like, no, I won't be silent. I will connect with God and I will ask to be healed. I'm not going to accept any other voice that says to be quiet. You're not going to get healed. There's no point asking. It's not going to happen for you. I had for a while a pain. It's about 4 or 5 years ago now, in my thigh. And, you know, you do all the things, pray, like I'm pretty good. I get my scriptures out and go, right, let's do it, let's get healed. But it just didn't go away and it's just there forever. And I was just like, oh, every time I walk and I'd sort of, I can't remember if I don't think I went to a physio. Oh, no, I didn't go to a physio because I have physios in the family, which is handy. So I rang one because Chris's brother's a physiotherapist, you see. And so sometimes I get a little bit of free physio advice, give him a ring. So I rang him and explained the situation. And he said, yeah, you know, it's old age. And he said, it happens, you know, because it had been for a while and just the situation. He just said, yeah, you know, it's probably just getting, the joint's getting a bit tired and just, you know, you get older, you get aches and pains. It just, that's the way it is. I said, oh, right, well, does it go away? He goes, no, not really. You just have to manage it. And I was like, he said, oh, that's right. He said, it's worn, probably worn out, overuse. I remember him saying, you know, worn out, overuse. And I'm like, and I got off the phone and I just was like, no. Sort of overused my thigh? What's that all about? What am I, an Olympic athlete? Am I a high jumper? I mean, come on. I toddle around the hockey field once a week at the most. I mean, I just went, no way. No way. I'm not even that old. I just got angry. I went, no, I don't accept that. God made this body. He knew how long I had to live in the body for. It's going to be just fine until the day I die. And so I got feisty because he said, you're old. It's that's it. And I had already had it for a while. And I just went, no. So there's that word. Just forget it. Be quiet. It's not going to happen. And I refused it. I said, no. And I prayed and I got, and you have to get angry sometimes. I was angry. I went, I refuse that. And I've got to tell you, I don't know if Mark realizes this, but I've never asked him for advice again. I thought, I haven't, because I thought, I can't afford to ask him for advice. I'm not getting any younger. Every time I ask him for advice, he's just going to tell me it's old age. I'm just getting older. So I thought, that's it, Mark. He's been sacked. He doesn't know. I got myself a new physiotherapist now, and he better be a faith guy, because if he's not, I can beat him up. That's my son. He's also a physiotherapist, so he knows. He's very careful giving me advice. So I was healed, completely and absolutely healed. And interestingly, the way that I was healed was a word of wisdom. I'd already prayed for it. I felt like I'd done the right thing, but someone said to me, they said, I had a really bad back and I got this mattress. It's quite hard, but I got healed. And I just went, oh, I've got to get that. What mattress was it? And they told me, I went, I've got to get that mattress. And so I did. It's as hard as a rock. In fact, it's so hard that Chris couldn't sleep on it. He got a sore shoulder. I'm not kidding. So this is the honest truth. Do you know what we did? We cut it in half. We cut the mattress in half. It's one of those koala kind of things. So we cut that in half. So if you dig up underneath our things, we actually have two mattresses. Mine's as hard as a rock and his is nice, normal, soft. But I stepped on it, healed. It was absolutely healed. So was it God or the mattress? I don't care. I prayed and I'm healed. So, you know, God sometimes just does a slight lifestyle change, and I didn't know that. And maybe that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't believed God. So you don't accept the voice that says to you to be quiet. It's not going to happen. Press in and say, no, I'm asking God for healing. So what we do is we ask in faith. That's why I spoke about going to the Word first. We ask in faith. Jesus said in Luke 18 to blind Bartimaeus, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and following him, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people who saw it gave their praises to God. So he got his sight, which is wonderful, and he was healed. And, you know, there's so many ways. When it's time to be healed, let me tell you to do this. This is what I do. I go, right, I don't ask God until I'm really ready. I seek God. But I like to have a moment where I'm going to ask God now. I'm ready. I've got my faith. I don't like to just sort of go, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm going to ask God. I even write it down. I write down, this day I prayed, I received healing, or I got someone to pray for me. And I like to be really specific about what I'm doing. I like to know where I'm at. I like to know if it's a healing like my thigh or if it's a demon, because a lot of sicknesses, remember Maddie shared about the depression that she had, and we identified that was a spirit attacking her. It's not nothing to be ashamed of. They're just around like bees and mosquitoes. They can get you sometimes. So Jesus, it says that he healed a lot of people who were demon possessed or needed healing. So he distinguished, and I like to distinguish, is this a spirit that's attacking me? Is this just a healing? I like to know. That's why I'm seeking God, because it changes the way you pray. Personally, I kind of like it if I think it's demonic, because resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's easy. They run away in Jesus' name, so they're easy to get healed from. You might need a creative miracle. It might need a little bit more faith, not necessarily, but it's happened. my beautiful Russian friends, I taught about it, this in Russia years ago to the Russians and explained about healing and all that. And I always remember the next day or the next week, I guess it was, we were talking, I said, anyone have a testimony they want to share? And this guy, yes, I will share. You remember this? I'll try and do a Russian accent. He goes, yes, Pastor Ruth said you should pray about healing, so I don't have a tooth, no tooth. I ask God, next morning I have a tooth. It's grown. So it's good. And everyone's like, okay, that's good. Pretty good. And I'm sitting there going, that's wonderful. I'm glad that you've been listening to my preaching. Great. Well done. Jolly good. I was like, really? Wow, that's awesome. He was just very casual about it. But so we ask God and we have faith because we've put in our homework, we've been diligent, we have this moment where we're going to be healed. And there are an endless number of ways that you can be healed. So you just have to see what God's going to do. It's kind of exciting. Like in the Bible, this is some of the ways you got healed: by looking at a snake on a stick, washing in a river, spit and mud put in your eyes, a touch, touching clothes, a word, a command, anointed material, laying on of hands. I mean, it's exciting. Who knows what's going to happen for you? Who knows how God's... This is why it's a journey. This is why it's an opportunity. What a wonderful testimonies we're going to have. I, one time, had a problem with my lips. I just had dry lips, and they were had a big crack in the middle, and it wouldn't heal. And I tried every sort of cream you could try, did everything. It was really bothering me for quite some time. And I just couldn't... It just wouldn't get better. And I was here at church, just in the cafe, and I was sharing it with someone. I said, I've got this problem with my lips. Can you see? She goes, yeah, I can see that. I've noticed that. I just can't get it better. She goes, So I was talking to her. Some of you know this story. I was talking to her, and I noticed her lips were very beautiful and smooth. No cracks, no dryness. And I just looked at her lips. And the thought popped into my brain, and this was not my thought. This must have been God. But the thought popped into my brain, if I kiss her on the lips, I will be healed. That popped into my brain. And I'm just like... I am looking at her going, I really don't know what to do with that. What, am I going to... I'm going to say, can I kiss you on the lips? I mean, on the lips, you know. It wasn't a cheek one. This is like a smacker on the lips. And I'm just like, I kind of hesitated. And she hesitated as well. Praise the Lord, he said the same thing to her. So she said, if you kiss me on the lips, you'll be healed. And I went, did you hear that too? I did, but I didn't want to say it. It just seemed so awkward, you know. I didn't want to say it. And she goes, yeah, I know. So I'm like, let's do this. So we kissed, mwah, right on the lips. And my lips were healed from then. I've never had a cracked lip since. How about that? My lips were healed completely. So, you know, I didn't really put a lot of effort into that particular healing. I was trying a few creams and things, but, you know, it's just about obedience, isn't it? I mean, it's just that was a very, to me, that was a simple healing, and I wish all my healings were like that. I wish that I could just go around and kiss you all and you'd all be healed. I mean, it was just one act of obedience, but it was an act of obedience, and I will say this, that often we just have to obey, and God is not going to make it too hard for you. Okay? He knows what you need. He knows. It's sometimes we feel like, oh, Ruth's got this list, I've got to do this and this and this. And it's like, well, maybe you do and maybe you don't. I don't know. All I know is that we take one step at a time and obey God, and it will be just right for you. It'll be what you need in your journey to be healed. Another time I had a sprained ankle after hockey, and I remember I'd gone over on my ankle, I think, and it was sore and it was kind of bruising up. And then we had a church meeting that night, and I went to the meeting with a crutch because it was really hurting and I couldn't hardly walk on it. And when I got to the church, a particular young, zealous leader came up to me and said, what happened to you? And I was like, I could tell everyone else, like, you okay? Like, oh, nice, you know. But this guy was like, what happened to you? And I went, oh, I just went over on my ankle at hockey. And he was like, right.
He goes, you know what that crutch is called? And I'm like, no, what? And he goes, it's called a rod of unbelief. And I was like, oh, okay. So so I thought, I think I better get healed. I felt so bad. So that time I did. I was at the meeting and I just prayed and got healed and went, put the rod of unbelief away. But interestingly, that was a rebuke. I was healed by the rebuke. And I submitted to the rebuke because I thought, he's right. I haven't prayed about this. I haven't. I was just like had my war wound, you know. And I hadn't. And so he was right. So one time it's a kiss, another time it's a rebuke for me. Who knows? I spoke to a friend the other day. We were talking about healing. And she said she had this thing. And she got healed. She said, I was healed when I went to Israel and I got baptized in the River Jordan. I said, really? And she goes, yes, completely healed. And this is a disease. She's completely healed. I went, oh, how good is that? She goes, I know. She sent me the photo of it. And then I could just see. I said, you just look glorious. She said, it was glorious. So I know you can't all go and get baptized in the River Jordan. And I don't want you all to come and kiss me. So that could. Oh, you could go down to the creek, maybe. I don't know. But this is the thing. This is fun. But it's all about knowing what God's called you to do. The Bible says in James 5:16, pray, get the elders. Is anyone sick? Is anyone sick? Call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. So the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. So that's that heart check issue there. They talk about the sin sometimes being connected, not always, to the healing. So we need to be proactive, congregate, find out what God wants us to do and do it. And again, our Russian friends are very good with submission. I remember a young lady coming up to me and saying she couldn't have children. She said, you need to pray for me, you're an elder. If you pray for me, I'll get healed. I went, fine. So I prayed for her. She comes back. I hear, I wasn't in Russia again at that time, but I heard that she had a son, a lovely, handsome son. His name is Ephraim. Praise the Lord. So we have to ask God, and then we have to obey whatever he wants us to do, because often the faith that we have is part of an action. It's we can see that faith because we obey what we know he wants us to do. So then, having asked, we believe and we receive. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 20, they had passed by a fig tree earlier on, and you'll remember that Jesus cursed the fig tree. And they commented because then when they looked at the fig tree later on, it was dead. And Jesus said this, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When you pray. All right, now, this is moving into a new dimension. And this is a little bit more, it's a little bit more meaty than some of the things we preach about. Because this is a real spiritual thing that some people can't get a hold of. Is that when you pray, it says, when you pray, believe that you've received. You receive something in the spiritual realm. And you've got to believe that the spiritual realm is more real, more vital, and more happening than the physical realm. So when he cursed the fig tree, there was no change initially. But that fig tree was doomed. It was dead. And we have to believe that when we pray, there's a shift in the spiritual realm and we have received something. That is part of faith. It's a dimension of faith that not a lot of people necessarily get a hold of. Imagine if you had a tree. Frosty came to visit my place and we had some camphor laurel that we didn't want. If he sliced that camphor laurel in half and gave me the top bit, if we put that top bit on the concrete on our patio, it would look exactly the same as when he hadn't cut it off for a while. Maybe a day or so. It would look the same. But we know that it's dead, don't we? And that's what happens in the spiritual realm. We know that the roots are destroyed, just like Jesus' fig tree. It's destroyed. We have to believe when we pray that the issue has been destroyed, and we have to believe it in our spirit, and then we've got to keep working that faith out until what's in our spirit is manifest in the flesh. So that's an interesting journey. That's often the journey that we have to take. It's a journey and a dimension.
Bosworth says, Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer, it's, you've got to read it. It's the book. It's, there's the Bible, and then on healing, there's Bosworth. So he, everyone refers to him. He says, receive by faith. Continue to believe that God gave you what you asked for when you prayed, thanking and praising him for what he has given, and it will always manifest. Do not trust the symptoms or your feelings. God's word must have the mastery. So I love that. So another great testimony that I like to share is the beautiful Dodie Osteen, otherwise christened as Dolores Pilgrim Osteen. How's that for a middle name? Pilgrim. I like it. So she was diagnosed with liver cancer. She'd been feeling sick. She went to the doctor and she was diagnosed with liver cancer. And she was given weeks to live, and they didn't really even suggest that she did chemotherapy because she was going to die anyway. So she was sent home to die. And so, as you can imagine, that's fairly serious. She says this in this little book, which is such a classic of a book, but it's hard to get now. This happened a while ago, back in the 80s. She said, the day I came home from hospital, I asked John, her husband, who was a pastor, to pray with me. I said, darling, you're the head of this house. You're going to have to take authority over this cancer in my body. We must agree that God is going to heal me and heal me completely whole. So we did. John anointed me with oil as we both got on the floor in our bedroom, face down before God, and he took authority over any disease and over any cancerous cells in my body. That was December the 11th, 1981. As far as I'm concerned, that's the day my healing began. I had confidence in God's word that I was healed, but my body did not completely line up with that truth. I still had many symptoms, and I still felt ill, but in my heart, I knew I was healed. So she then went on this journey. Her way of healing, by the way, was to ask her husband to pray for her, and I really like that. Men, come on. You're the head of the home. So when your wife is sick, take authority and pray for her and believe for her and get with her. I love that because she's, you know, she's probably feeling emotional and feeling ill and feeling all over the place, and he's feeling all right. So I just want to encourage you. That's one good way of being healed, and I love it when Chris prays for me because he's just so strong. I'm sometimes like, oh, babe, and he's like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay. There's certain strength, like, you know, that aggressive spirit that you men sometimes have. We see it on the rugby field and the hockey field for that matter. But you know that aggression you have? It's actually not designed for you to just play rugby. Did you know that? And what? Sorry, I don't know if he's arguing with me or not, but I've got the microphone. So, no, your men have got a certain aggression in them. I mean, women do too, but you know what I'm saying. And it's this spiritual warfare we want it for. Come on, guys. Like, it's not so you can play rugby and be all men. I don't know what you do when you're all alone. It's so that you can pray for your wives. Men. But I'm serious. Like, rise up, be a man, be strong. There's a certain courage and a certain, I don't know, there's a certain grit I find when Chris prays that I don't necessarily have, because God has made us different. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, this is a great, I like this, that her husband was just praying for her and believing for her and helping her to fight. So that's my next point, to ask and believe and receive and have an understanding that you have received something in the spiritual realm. If I said to my beloved husband, darling, can you please transfer, how much? Let's say $1,000 into my account so I can go away somewhere, I don't know. And he goes, sure. And he gets out his phone. He goes, duh, duh, duh. If I look at my phone straight away, sometimes it doesn't come through straight away, does it? But if I've said, have you done? He says, yes, it's done. It's the transfer has been made. The money, it's yours. But I'm like, what? You know, I don't know. Sometimes it takes a bit longer. If you go through a little Apple Square for books or something, can take a few extra days. I've just recently discovered. But I'm like, is it in? I can't. It's not there yet. It's like, yes, but it's gone through. It's definitely yours. And if God says it's gone through, you say, yeah, I know, but I can't, it's not happening. Is it me? Is it my phone? Probably. It's probably me with my tech abilities. But you know what I'm saying? It's, if God says he sent it, it's sent. And sometimes it's just, you've got to, we deal with these sort of weird
unseeable realities all the time these days. We're always dealing with things like, is it happened? It's out there in the woo world somewhere. So it shouldn't be so hard for us to understand this concept that sometimes things are in the netherland, in the spiritual realm, and they've come, but we can't see them yet. I mean, even when it's on your phone, you still don't know for sure that it's real money. I mean, really, until you go and, you know, we when we were in Russia, there were all these advances happened in the system. And FPOS, we didn't know about FPOS because we were still like, it was hard cash. It was actually cash that you'd changed on the streets in Russia. Like, give me your rubles, you know, I'll give you some American dollars. So it was all very raw. And then we come back to Australia and it's like, you just, it was cards, I think. Yeah, not phones then. You could just get a card and just go, ding. Was that right? Or you had to, oh, you could get cash out. I remember we didn't know. It was all these things we didn't know. And Chris was just like, I remember him saying to the cashier, so you'll give me cash, just give it to me like that. And she's like, yes. It's amazing, isn't it? And it'd been going on for years, and she was like, yes. It was like, wow, look at that, just cash from Coles, hey. She's like, okay, like, move along, please. So, look, there's all kinds of things that are happening in the spirit realm, and we have to believe it. Believe, you receive. So, patient number four today, we ask and we receive by faith. Faith, God loves faith. He loves it when we have faith. I believe you, God. If you said you sent it, you've sent it. It's on its way. I believe you. And that pleases him. He loves faith because he loves us to trust him. Can you imagine our marriage would be like? I said, babe, can you send me $1,000? He goes, yeah, I've done it. Thank you. I don't believe you. What do you mean? I don't believe you really did it. I just told you I sent it. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're a nice guy or not. I mean, you're a good husband. I don't know. I don't know if I believe you. I mean, you'd be a bit like, that would not be good for our marriage, would it? No, because he's trustworthy. Well, God is a lot more trustworthy. And for us to sort of go, well, I don't know if I believe it. Or it doesn't look like it's here. I can't see it. I've sent it. It's okay. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. It's like Ruth. Have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in what he said in the word. It says, get the elders to pray. If he's sick, the Lord will raise him up. It's so simple. But we do need to have patience. This is the next point, because sometimes it does take a bit of time for those things to manifest in the physical realm. Hebrews 6:12. Do not be sluggish, dull, losing enthusiasm, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, as I've said before, we all like the concept that we can just kiss and get better, but sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes God tests our faith a little bit. He tests our patience. I don't know why. He's just raising up beautiful children. He wants us to all be mature and wonderful and patient. We're not two-year-olds. Mummy, can I have some chocolate? Yes, after dinner. No, I want it now. It's like he wants us to grow up and be able to wait and trust that it will come at the right time. So we need to have that faith. And it says in James 1:2, let patience have its perfect work. So patience is actually doing a work in us. There's something that you can feel it sometimes. It's like stretch in our character. So God has a purpose in patience. And he wants us to get a hold of that patience. Again, Dodie Osteen is a great example because this is a really serious disease. She didn't get healed. There was no healing evangelist. She really had to stand by faith. And she said that the symptoms did not go straight away. She said, day by day, I gained hope and encouragement from the precious promises that God revealed to me through his word. I clung to my Bible and its healing promises. The word became my life. I read and confessed the scriptures daily. She said the symptoms just did not go. She said she talks in this little book about some very dark times at night. She had photos of herself when she was young and healed. She's only 48 or something. She was like, I'm too young to die. She had to fight. She said she'd get up. She had to get up every morning. She said, I didn't want to get up, but I got up, put my clothes on. She said they hung on me like a sack. And she'd feel weak and she'd say to the kids, can you help me do this? And they go, no, Mum. You don't need our help. You're healed. You've got to watch sympathy. I love sympathy. But sometimes too much sympathy will kill you. Actually, you need to have people that will fight with you. So you've got to get that balance between sympathy and strength. So she would get up and she would get dressed and she said, and she'd go out and pray for people to be healed. She just kept on with her life. And she said, I never did go back to the doctor to be checked up. She just kept living. And she said, she just gradually got better and better and better. And she only just died last year, actually. So she was 48. She died at, I think, the age of 90-something. So she lived on for another, given weeks to live. She lived on for a long time. And she said she never went back to get tested, but some years later she had to get a blood test for something else. And they came back and they said that that was all clear. And she realised that they also said everything was clear. And she went, oh, it's gone. She didn't ask the doctor if she was healed. But later on she discovered that. So bless her heart. What a great woman. I love her and I love her book. I'm looking forward to meeting her. And of course her son, Joel Osteen, then went on to pastor their great big, fabulous, encouraging church. So great testimony, great testimony. So we've got to keep looking to Jesus, not to the symptoms. Part of being patient is to know the truth, to walk in the truth, not to, you know, be constantly looking at the symptoms, constantly looking at what's wrong with us, constantly Googling it. Watch out for Google. We've got to know that God is in us and making us alive. And look at this. I like in Psalm 119, verse 50. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me, in the King James Version, or given me life. Your word has given me life. So it gives us life, not just in the healing, but to endure through the process that we're going through sometimes, if it's taking a bit longer to be healed, and we've got to step into that place of patience. So, finally, praise God. Just keep praising God. Keep thanking Him. Keep praising Him right now. Like, go, yes, when your faith is high, go, thank you, God. Whatever you're going through, say, thank you, God. Don't give up. Don't stop. Even if you feel like you haven't done well up till now, start again. Start from now. Go, I'm just going to keep pressing in. I'm going to keep praising God, and I'm going to be healed. Let's all do this together. Amen? Praise God. All right, let's have the musos. I'm going to pray. And I just want you to, because I'm preaching a lot in this instance about you just having faith, I just want you to pray, put your hands on your own self or on your heart if you're praying for someone else or on part of your body. And I'm going to speak to that part of your body and I want you to see it healed. And see that God is moving on you. Father, we thank you. You forgive all our sins. You heal all our diseases. We thank you that you are a God of wonders. You're the God who does miracles. And I just thank you for every part of a body right now that's not functioning well. Every part that's got a hand laid on it. We believe, we receive the Spirit of God is healing right now. The Word of God is giving us life. Life in those cells, life in our flesh, life in those body parts, life, the life of God, the abundant life, the healing life. Thank you, God, for working in everybody right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.